some strange doctrine, so we'll know a little bit about it, but look at, they're going away mad. Zechariah 11, she's going to go down to rinse a little tuck. Okay, Zechariah 11:15. This is an Old Testament prophecy about the Antichrist. So, this is something very strange. And it gets into something that's very strange in the world, but it does explain some things. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll see what we can come up with here. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. I do pray that you'd help us recognize that Satan's, most of his work is done in religion and politics, probably more in religion than anything. And help us to be able to recognize that Lucifer said many, many years ago, I will be like the Most High. And in order to do that, he wants worship. And I do pray you'd help us to discern these things and to honor your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Zechariah 11, got to verse 15. In verse 12 and 13, we have a prophecy about somebody receiving 30 pieces of silver. And the person that did that was Judas Iscariot. And then right after that prophecy, he gets into the Antichrist. Okay, the word Antichrist is first found in the Bible in 1 John. 2 John uses it. And Revelation will call the Antichrist the beast. And the beast will be typified as a lion, bear, leopard, intermingled. Okay, and it'd be a really, really vicious one world leader. Okay, so Zechariah 11, verse 15, we have a paragraph mark. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee the instruments of a foolish shepherd. Okay, what are his instruments? What are the methods of Satan? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul told the people in Corinth, he said, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. And it's amazing to me how ignorant the church is of the devil's devices. Anybody that is involved in sports, usually before the next game, be it football, be it basketball, they have watched tape after tape after tape of the opponent. And they know what they're going to do. They know the plays. They're watching the plays. They are very well informed foreknowledge of their opponent. But yet, in the church, they know very little about our opponent. They know very little about Satan. They know very little how he works. They know very little where he works. And especially within the religious structure. Okay, people tend to think, well, he's into Satanism. Well, yeah, that's a no-brainer, but he's also in a charismatic movement. And he's also in the Catholic Church. And he's also working very strongly in any Bible-believing church. And so he says, take unto thee the instruments of a foolish shepherd. And Zechariah writes about the foolish shepherd. Isaiah calls the shepherds of his day dumb dogs. And Ezekiel hits him pretty hard. Ezekiel 34. And the Lord Jesus hits them pretty hard in Matthew 23. So what are the instruments of a foolish shepherd? What is one of Satan's techniques of deceiving the church? If you would, let's try 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, he told this to Corinth, and remember the people in Corinth were very interested in gifts, spiritual gifts, tongues was mentioned, and so we know what movement that is today. 2 Corinthians 10 or 11, verse 4, it says this, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear well with him. So I think the old Mormons have another testament. Okay, then drop down to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Okay, and then who is that? And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Okay, the Bible uses the word transformed here. And in the secular world, they would use the word shape-shifting, where a person can, a being can shape-shift to appear as a man or a woman or whatnot. Okay, it's like the old magicians where they could turn a rabbit, bring a rabbit out of a hat or make it turn into something, okay? And so that's what that's talking about. So when Satan appears, if Satan would walk into our room, he would be probably like a Mormon kid, elder, 30 years old. No, they're 20. But he would probably look like a 30, 33-year-old young man, handsome man, debonair, and people would get fooled by him. Okay, because that's how he appears. An angel of light, an angel, all angels in the Bible are men. They appear as men. And so that's how he would appear. He wouldn't appear, if he would appear as Leviathan, we'd pass out. So he knows that we can't handle his natural state, Leviathan in Job 41. So he appears in a state that he can deceive us. How did he appear to Eve? Probably in that state. Even though Satan, even though the Bible says the serpent. And so it's like in Ezekiel 28, he talks to the king of Cyrus, but then he talks to the devil inside the king of Cyrus. Okay, and then Jesus would talk to the maniac of Gadara, but then he talked to the unclean spirit inside of the young fellow. So we have a catch right here. We have a clue right here. The religious structure that Satan is going to work in more than any is a religious structure that claims to be apostolic. Okay, now, I know down in Rensselaer, there's churches down there called Apostolic Christian Church. They're not into tongue speakers, though. They'd be more on the Mennonite-ish ideas. But a movement, the charismatic movement, is a movement that is designed by Satan to overthrow the Bible by their emotions. The charismatic movement is an effeminate movement because they work by emotions. And it is a very demonic movement. And if you've ever had to deal with these people personally, you'll actually recognize the devil when you get hit on some hot topics. The Catholic Church claims to be apostolic in succession. So they claim that their popes go all the way back until the Apostle Peter. So that movement is designed, again, by Satan to overthrow the Bible by tradition. So you have the two. One is tradition, one is emotion, and when those two get together, and we see that they are, then the Antichrist will step in and be the leader of all of them. One world movement. Okay, and I mean, if you observe the charismatic movement of today versus the charismatic movement of 30 years ago, those people would be shocked with what they're going on today. I mean, barking like a dog, holy laughter. I mean, putting a leash on a guy as he's barking like a dog and rolling and doing all the sorts of stuff. I mean, it is just phenomenal what they're doing. The Benny Hinn blowing his garlic breath on people and they're passing out, you know, and then bopping them on the head. And then people think that this is of God. So those two, and that's the movement that Satan is working through. If you would, look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this is no surprise to a Bible believer because somebody has already had this experience. Meaning he served with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this chapter is about the Antichrist. You see him in verse 3, man of sin, son of perdition. Verse 8. Capital W on wicked. And then it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, miracles and healings. Okay, and this is, what's the purpose of this? Verse 10, to deceive. And Revelation 13:13 shows that Satan will be able to heal, and he's going to recover from an amazing, probably assassination attempt, if not assassinated. Which is how we portrayed it in the play. So this tells us something about how Satan works, and we're not ignorant of his devices. And then if we go to the Christian bookstore and notice the Bibles, and we'll discover that the New King James Bible has an enigma that has three sixes in it on the title page. Why would they do that? Okay, it's just amazing. And then anybody knows these issues knows that in Isaiah 14:12 it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" They take the word Lucifer out, put morning star in, so they're implying one of two things, that Lucifer is Jesus Christ or Jesus Christ sinned and went to hell. So that's the choices. So that's the method that he's following, spiritually speaking. Okay, as far as in the church. And then he follows also in the political world the same methods. So in verse 15 of Zechariah 11, we have a foolish shepherd. That's his instruments. And so what kind of music is he going to use to draw these people together? Well, the bottom line music, the point of the lowest common denominator between the races, would be the African music. And that's the music the contemporary movement is pushing. It's African music. They might have so-called Christian words to it, but it's an African beat, and that beat is an emotional beat that is conjuring up, calling up devils, and this is why the charismatic movement is just infested. It's infested with these things. Okay, so that's the foolish shepherd. Verse 16, it says, "For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat." Now, historically, the ones that did that would be the two boys of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. And those two guys were perverts in the temple. And he says, "And tear their claws in pieces." And then verse 17, "Woe to the idol," I-D-O-L, shepherd. So he's going to have something associated with statues or images. And every Christian denomination throughout its history, Pentecostal, Methodist, Baptist, Congregationalist, you name it, everyone, sometime in their history taught that the Pope was an Antichrist or the Antichrist. And back in the 1800s, the Pope's special fancy hat that he has that looks like a fish head, and if it was a fish head, it'd be probably the largest fish you ever caught. They used to write on there in Latin words, "Faithful Vicar of Christ." But in Latin words, there's one language in the world where letters are numbers. One language in the world. Okay, where the letters actually represent numbers, the Roman numerals. And if you take all the Roman numerals below 1,000, guess what they add up to? Take all of them, put them together, it's 666. And so some evangelists back in the 1800s, when the Pope had this "Faithful Vicar of Christ" written in Latin, they counted the Roman letters in that word, and it came up to 666. So that's why they took that off the hat. Okay, so that's where, you know, you could say in the catacombs or underneath the Vatican City would be very strong, probably Satan's seat down in there today. And boy, it's got vibes. Okay, woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. And then he makes it unusual. "The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." So he's going to have a bad right arm and a bad right eye. So he's going to have a bad, probably if he gets shot at in the tribulation time period where it hits him in the head, takes him out, bad right eye. And it's interesting that in the medical world, the left eye is what's called sinister ocular or a sinister look. Okay, sinister, an evil eye. Now we find in life an evil eye. And if you, you know, get on and look at some of these famous people, mainly in the music industry, you're going to see them flashing this sign. They're going to be putting this over their eye. They're going to be covering one eye like this. And the reason why they're doing this is they're paying homage to their God. They've made agreements. If it's a big-time Hollywood star, they've made agreements. And that's how they get their fame and fortune. It's not that they're talented. It's that they have cut deals. And they've sold their soul. Okay, this you know, was kind of quiet years ago, but this is not hid today. These people are admitting these things. That they pray to devils to help them to act better. And they're doing it for fame and fortune of this day, but in the long run, when these people are tired of this pattern of life of being used, they usually take themselves out, or somebody takes them out, and then they make it look like a suicide. So it's interesting about this unclean spirit or this devil. Okay, now, what about Judas Iscariot? It's a very, very strange being or person. I mean, Satan is so subtle, you would tend to think that if you lived with somebody as much as the apostles lived with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, somebody would have recognized that this was a devil. But what did they do? They chose him to be the treasurer. And he carried the bag. Okay, in John chapter 6, verse 7, and Jesus said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." Not the devil, but a devil. He didn't say he's like a devil. He said he was a devil. Now that a devil in John chapter 13, verse 27, is when Satan comes into him, comes into his body to indwell him. Okay, and that's when, and then shortly thereafter he betrayed Christ. Now that would be the best example if you go to 2 Thessalonians and read through that, and you talk about he who letteth will let and so forth and so on. Unfortunately, a lot of people will interpret that's the Holy Spirit that's withdrawn from the world during the tribulation, but that ain't what it is, not the way I see it. It's the Antichrist who is operating, but the devil can't get full realm of this guy until he comes into his body. And then that's when all hell breaks loose. And so that's when he actually indwells him. And so he says about Judas Iscariot, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" John, and then John 13, 27, Satan enters into him. And then in John 17, 12, when the Lord Jesus was praying, which is the true Lord's Prayer, he said this. He said that none of them is lost. You have kept them, talking about the apostles, John 17, 12. None of them is lost except the son of perdition. The son of perdition was only found one other time in the Bible, and it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and that is the Antichrist. So here, the Antichrist, in spirit, I guess you could say, already has had a 3.5 year ministry, and since Satan went and counterfeits everything God has, Satan's going to have a second coming. And it's Judas Iscariot. His spirit is coming back. Now, that's not really a shocking thing because Moses and Elijah are coming back. And you know what? Many of the apostles may be coming back. Boy, that is going to be a strange time in the tribulation. And Jeremiah might be coming back. There might be hints of that. And so now the two witnesses are clearly Moses and Elijah coming back. But there might be other folks coming back, and it is really going to be a strange thing. And then Judas Iscariot shows up. and indwells the Antichrist. When Judas Iscariot died, it says in Acts 1, verse 25, it says that he went to his place. When a man or a woman or a child dies that is lost, when they die and go to hell, they don't go to their place, they go to the devil's place. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But when he says that Judas Iscariot went to his place, that means that he, like Jesus said, was a devil. Okay, and now he's the king over the bottomless pit, Revelation chapter 9, okay, in essence. And so the idea is that he is called the son of perdition, and that is what hell is called, perdition. And let's look at the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 13. He's called the beast. Sorry, Revelation chapter 17, I think it is, verse 8 is what I'm looking for. Okay, and the beast, remember, is the Antichrist, and also, you know, he has a cohort, the false prophet. Revelation 17, verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and then go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not. He was not alive, John's writing, and yet is. He's coming back. And so that would be, that brings, you know, a very mind-boggling thing is how many international leaders that we see to be men or women aren't what we think they are. Could they be like the mighty men of renown back in Genesis chapter 6? Okay, now that evil eye, let's work on that, where even on the back of our Federal Reserve note, you've got the pyramid with the eye hovering above it. That's the evil eye. That's the CBS logo, the evil eye. And if you observe or observant of some things, you'll find in movies, they'll have in the background, you'll see the eye. Years ago, when Brent and I went to Vietnam, we went into a very large Buddhist pagoda. It's one where you can, the tourists can go in and observe. And way down up front in this very huge building, there was the evil eye in Buddhism. And in the front part, they say that they respect Moses as a great prophet, Jesus as a prophet, Buddha as a prophet, and Muhammad as a prophet, and all these. They had like five different ones. And there, in this huge building, and they had the all-seeing eye down front. Okay, in our Bible, let's see if we can find it. Proverbs chapter 23. And what is that eye on the back of that dollar bill? Probably that left eye of the Antichrist. A lizard or reptilian type eye. Okay, Proverbs 23. And remember, again, the most important doctrine of the Bible is the second coming of Christ, and what precedes that is the tribulation. And so we're going to discover a lot of these things in Psalms are right about this, and Proverbs are right about this. So Proverbs 23:1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what's before thee. Okay, if you get down, if you go to a charity dinner, they're called charity dinners. Now, it just amazes me. Millions and billions of dollars, I don't know what was the last campaign, did they reach $1 billion in advertisement? I don't remember. For what? A $400,000 salary job. Now, isn't that weird? Now, of course, it's not the money of the politician. It's somebody else's money. And, of course, we know that money that's coming from the donors got all these strings attached, especially when it's big figures. And so, if you go to these charity dinners, what are we sitting in front of in most cases? He says, consider diligently what's before thee. Well, what's before us? Somebody that looks like a man or woman, but boy, they got fangs when they come out. And if you ever challenge them, you'll feel their hatred and venom. And a lot of these people would sell their own mother out for nickel. And if their past relatives were going to squeal on somebody about some events, they'll just have them taken out or somebody will take them out. Like Obama's grandmother about 10 days before the election. Okay, I mean, it's amazing. And so the writer is telling us, consider what's before you. He said, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. If you're given to appetite, you're going to give in to anything this person is going to do. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. The Masons. The Masonic Lodge. The influence on a Masonic Lodge and the upper echelon, the Illuminati and stuff, is just phenomenal in how it just gets in everything. There's an evil eye. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. Proverbs 28, verse 22, I think is another one. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. And considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. And then one of the 13 sins that Mark chapter 7 writes about that comes out from the heart, one of them is an evil eye. Now, if that's not what the Bible is saying, then why do we see this stuff everywhere? I mean, the evidence of the Bible is everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. And if these people say, oh, the Bible is not true and all this stuff, then why do we have all this symbolism everywhere that comes from the Bible? It's everywhere. It's just that people aren't paying attention to it. So the Antichrist looks like he's going to have a bad right arm. And Adolf Hitler had a bad arm where it would start twitching and he'd have to kind of put it behind him. Okay, and he's going to have a bad right eye. And if somebody's got a bad right arm, there's a common saying, if you ever heard this, is a left-handed compliment. And remember who in the Bible basically illustrated a left-handed compliment was Eglon and Ehud. Okay, Eglon and Ehud. Ehud was left-handed, so he had a sword on his right side, and that was saying peace, but and he pulled that left hand out and then stuck that dagger in Eglon. I think it's Eglon, the big guy. And that's an illustration, as far as a left-handed compliment. And a left-handed baseball pitcher, what do they call him? They call him a southpaw. Isn't that funny how they call that a paw, like he's a cat or a dog? Because that's the Antichrist. And who has infatuation for cats? Now, I'm not talking about the little kitty cats, but the big cat, the roaring lion that walketh about. Well, if somebody has an affinity towards liquor, they call them an alcoholic. But if somebody has an affinity for Satan, what do we call them? A catholic. A Catholic. Okay? And it's interesting in English language. And if you look in the footnote, I looked up that word cat. Cat's not found in the Bible. Lion is. But that word cat, and you stretch it out, catechism, Catholic, a cat's paw, a cataleptic. When I was working on that sentence in a footnote and got all these C's and cats, and I was like, oh, wow, this is phenomenal. So I'm just going to read it. It says, fanatics of the cat can be called catholics, who have developed spiritual cataracts. They can't see. Through the catechism, which causes them to be cataleptic, and they will act that way if you start challenging their beliefs. when challenged by a true witness. A cat's paw is a dupe of the Cato of Rome. If the mafia was 98% Baptist, don't you think the media would say something about that? It is 99% Catholics. And his ex cathedra statements or papal bulls from his kingly cathedra, it is a luxurious cathedral. And you go in very, very poor communities down in Mexico and you'll see in a very elaborate building. His method of deception is called catechesis. And what is that? That is an incorrect use of words. Meaning if you give a word, they have a different definition than we have. Because you're using words incorrectly. The catalyst of the Mother Church over a large catamount of people catch catechumen of Catholicism through deception and threats. And that's true. Deception first. Threats occurred during World War II when the Ustasi of Yugoslavia would go from Serbian village to Serbian village and they would convert these Serbians to Catholicism at the end of a sword. And then they'd report to the Pope. And a fellow named Avril Manhattan documented all these information with pictures. And then after he published this, he sent like several hundred copies to the Serbian government so that they were not ignorant of their past. And boy, that made the Serbians. And when the communists dropped their walls between, that's why the Serbs hit the Yugoslavs, because they couldn't go after them until then. And that was all going back to World War II. And the Ustasi was more ruthless to the Serbians than the German soldiers were appalled. They were so bad. And if you read anything by Avril Manhattan, and I don't even know if Avril Manhattan professes faith in Christ. I don't know. But boy, did he really document a lot of these things. And that's the behind-the-scenes attitude of that. And in the past, faithful protesters against this Babylonian whore would have been whipped by a cat of nine tails, but yet they fled and hid in the catacombs. And that is the basis of this idol shepherd, verse 17. Now, if we go to Revelation 17, this is one of the mysteries that we are to be faithful. One of the seven major mysteries we are to be faithfully teaching. And in the 1800s, anybody in church knew this. I mean, it didn't matter. Pentecostal, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, especially the Methodist. That they were very... Do you know the first religious leader... Let's throw it under the Christendom banner that burned a Bible was a Catholic priest in the 1840s. Burned it publicly. He was upset because they had the King James Bible in their public school and he wanted it burned. So he had a service and they burned it. And that was the first one. And in the 1840s and 50s, Samuel Morse, the famous man that invented the Morse code, wrote two books to Americans generally, and he was warning Americans about the Jesuits infiltrating our country. And boy, have we not heeded that warning. And when the Pilgrims got on the Mayflower and those saw the two boats as a part of that, they made certain, from the best investigation they could, that there were no Jesuits on those ships. Because what were the colonists fleeing from? They were fleeing from Catholicism, the Inquisition. That's what they were running from. And during the French Indian War, you know, when the Catholics up in Canada were arming themselves, boy, the colonists down here were very, very fearful. And that's part of the Declaration of Independence, so that they could be right to be armed, just in case those ones from up north come after us. But Revelation chapter 17, this is one of the seven great prophecies. And this is Mystery Babylon the Great. Now, many years ago when we had... When we had Waleed Shuabat here, you know, he's of the belief that Babylon here is literal Iraq. Okay? And if it didn't have the word mystery, I would agree. But because it uses the word mystery, this makes it a mysterious Babylon, which the Babylonian customs then went to Egypt and then up into Rome. And that's where the Roman institution has their customs. But we have 13 words in verse 5, all uppercase letters for these 13 words. Now, what is this Babylon? In verse 18, it's called a city. And in chapter 18, it will mention it. It is a city. Chapter 18, verse 10, and it's a city. Now, it's a city that has to be viewed, or is not has to be, it can be viewed from sailors on a ship on the Mediterranean Sea. Because we have that in verse 23. And they'll be able to see this city from verse 20 to 23 burning from a ship as they're on the Mediterranean Sea. So what city is that? Well, it's not Jerusalem. It's not Mecca. It's not Salt Lake City. There's only one city that can fit the description, and that's the Vatican City. Now, this city is also a nation. Because in Revelation 17, verse 2, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with this city. So under Ronald Reagan's administration, he is the first president that issued an ambassador to the Vatican. First one to do that. And the Jesuits said for a long time that America is ready to be overcome by our beliefs when a president takes his oath facing an obelisk. And President Reagan was the first one to do that. Okay, and so the Vatican City is a city, it's a nation, and it's a religion. And many of the Nazi leaders of World War II sought asylum in the Vatican. It's called the Rite of Sanctuary. It comes from Old Testament doctrine. And then the Vatican would filter them out to very prominent Catholic nations, countries, when the heat got off them. And some of these people lived their lives out to their death in Argentina and those places. And that all ties in with Vatican City. You see, and if you look at chapter 17, 18, and just read the characteristics, there's only one place that matches it. And so the Antichrist is going to be, I don't think per se the Pope is the Antichrist, but I would probably lean being a false prophet, but they would definitely make an agreement. And just like during World War II, the Catholic Church signed a concordant with the Grand Mufti of Israel, and they were persecuting the Jews there as the Nazis were doing it in wherever they wanted to go. And so when you get those two together, okay, where's this scarlet-colored beast going to ride in verse 3? So he carried me in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Okay, and that woman that sits on that beast, she's going to go into the wilderness, verse 3, and that's Saudi Arabia. So in a Vatican City, gets in cahoots with the Muslims down in Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia always gets a pass from our government, always does. That's when the killing machine is going to take place. Now, in the end, the Saudis are going to turn against Vatican City because they hate her. And that's when the sailors are going to see it from the ocean, where they're going to burn it in 1 hour. And all that's associated with the Antichrist of Zechariah chapter 11. And the sooner this takes place, the better for all of us. So, okay, so that's the Zechariah 11, verse 15 to 17. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you, you'd help us to see that our redemption draweth nigh, and help us look forward to that. We thank you for it. And Lord Jesus, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words. In Jesus' name, amen.